Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your colour and style questions. So let's see what we have today. Suzanne said, if I get so frustrated with my straggly COVID hair that I shave my head, what will that do to my colour and value contrasts? My skin is light pink beige, my eyes are bluish grey, my hair is dark ash blonde, taupey sort of colour. So if you shave off your hair, it really depends how dark your eyes are, the difference between the depth of your hair and the depth of your eyes. But it might temporarily, because it depends on how dark it happens when it comes back. I assume it's going to come back in the same dark ash blonde. And it really doesn't take too long to actually get your hair to grow again. So it's not going to change your color, your contrast for too long. So you will find that if you do shave your head because you're sick of the, you know, the lack of hair and all that, the inability to get your hair cut, it will change the contrast for a little bit, but as soon as your hair grows back, provided it grows back in the same colour, then not a huge amount of difference. But if your hair grows back in a completely different colour, because you've potentially been dyeing your hair over time, then this is where you might find that your contrast change radically, and even potentially your colours might change a bit, because maybe your hair is a lot lighter than what it has been, or it could be darker depending on if you've been dyeing your hair. So these things really play into it. So until you do that, you can't know. Now, for many of us who are going grey, if we decide just to buzz it all off when the hair comes back, it might come back quite differently. So I think that is one of those kind of hard to answer questions. So if your hair comes back a very different value, that may in fact change your value contrast. But if it comes back kind of similar really to what it was, it, you know, really it's not going to change it that much. You might just find if you've got really light coloured eyes and light skin that your contrast goes down for a while until your hair comes back. But if your eyes are about a similar value to your hair now, then it'll probably be pretty similar and nothing too much has changed. Always an interesting question. I sometimes do think about like just shaving all my hair off. I have to say it is one of those things I've gone, maybe one day when I decide to go grey, I'm just going to buzz it all off and see what comes back. But I have had really, really short hair in the past. Like we're talking hair this long. Didn't really suit me. And I found I had to wear a lot more makeup to make it work because I just don't have the facial features for that really short hair. Got too long a jaw. There's a whole kind of science behind who suits a really short haircut. There's who suits the real pixie cut. I don't particularly. You need to have a smaller kind of face often, short jaw. So like a short face, like a small square or a round face often suits a pixie cut way better than I do. Or lower ears, interestingly. So because a long jaw appears more masculine when you have less hair. So I always felt when I had the really short hair that I had to wear much stronger makeup to make it work. But you never know, I might change my mind at some stage. Who knows? These are these things that happen. Let's see what our next question is. Lovely to have you here. I've got a couple of people from England watching, I can see. So next thing, Silky's asked, I'm an H with a straight shoulders, full bust, short waist and tummy. So I look boxy quickly and would like to wear something elongating. So I completely get this because, you know, pretty much my body shape. Completely understand this one. I've dressed this body for an awfully long time. My value contrast is medium to high with medium light ideal value. What is the most promising column of colour, inner or outer? And should the column be dark or could it also be light? I would actually say the column should be medium and an inner column. So if you want to disguise your tummy, if you wear the same sort of colours top and bottom, same value, so value is just how light or dark the colour is. If you wear that top and bottom, that is the most slimming because it creates one long line. Vertical lines are more slimming. The eye travels quickly over them. and it has an up and down motion as we look at that. So if you are thinking about how do I look slimmer, go for an inner column of color, particularly if you have a tummy issue, because what we're not doing is cutting a horizontal line across at the waist or anywhere near the waist, because horizontal lines are broadening. They take the eye outwards. The eye actually travels more slowly over a horizontal line. Our eye is drawn to look for horizontal lines because we are looking for the horizon, because the horizon gives us balance. It makes us feel well. This is why we don't like pictures that are askew and stuff like that, because it makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable, and maybe we've got an in-ear infection. It's making, gives us a bit of vertigo, those sorts of things. We really like our horizontals to be horizontal. excuse me. So when you are thinking about dressing your body, horizontal lines are always going to be more widening. Now, there's a few little tips here. There's occasions when they're not, but think about it most of the time. So every time you break your body up with a horizontal line, so every hem is a horizontal line on the whole, unless you happen to have an asymmetric one. But really, so hems tend to be horizontal. They cut us. Where they cut us is where our attention is drawn. So if you are wanting to camouflage part of your body, don't put a hem anywhere near that part of your body. So this is why if we happen to have two garments, like a top and a skirt or a top and a bottom of any sort, top and pants, be wary about where that top ends and that bottom begins. And so if we have them in the same color, this is why having that column of color work so well, is we don't notice that horizontal line. It takes away from that being an obvious point to look at. So therefore, when we're looking, you know, at the outfit as a whole, the eye just scans and it doesn't stop at that horizontal where that top ends. But this is also why if you don't want to wear the same color top and bottom, because it can get a bit boring if that's all you do, having a curved hem is so good, because what it does is it takes away from that horizontal. That curved hem tends to be a much more flattering line. It tends to elongate the legs and also give the upper body, if we tend to have a more boxy upper body, gives a little bit more length in that upper body, but still doesn't take away from the length of the lower body. So it is one of the most fluttering shapes to have. And so I was looking for things that have that curved line. If you want to wear those things untucked, that is something to look for. So yes, so if you are wanting to hide tummy, go for the inner column of color. Now, it doesn't have to be light, dark, or medium. This relates overall to your own coloring. So I always go with something that is similar in value to your hair color, because this more of our outfit wants to be in something that's more in similar in value or lightness or darkness to your hair color. So that then means you'll be in balance with your kind of overall look. Hair is very dominant about what we see about a person. So when we relate our outfit back to that hair color, it tends to work really well. So if you're a medium, like kind of more medium, then medium is where I'd be going. It doesn't need to be really dark. We often think that dark is the thing. We've got to go really dark to be slimming in our colors, but really we just want to be darker than our skin often, because then the skin pops forward, that's what advances, and the clothes recede. We don't have to go really dark, particularly when we're doing a column of color. So we're already creating a nice elongating vertical line using that color. Hopefully that helps you, Silky, when you are thinking about how to choose those clothes that go together. Our last question today comes from Vicky. Help! I need assistance in purging my wardrobe. I'm 70 years old. I look and feel 50. What should I really have in my closet from everyday wear to special activities? Now, this is a big question. I went overboard on purchasing clothes 5 years ago and have way too much, especially shoes, lots of flats and low heels and boots. My hubby is still working and we still have many functions to attend, but are also moving from a hot to a cold climate. Where to start? So, gosh, where to start, Becky? That's such a big question. So where to start? I would start looking at, well, what are the clothes that maybe you're not going to need? If you're moving from a very hot environment to a colder one, there might be some of your summer clothes that you think I'm really not going to get anywhere out of, or I only need a limited number of these clothes, particularly if I ever go on holiday. It's always good to have some clothes to take away on holiday, isn't it? To a hot climate. but maybe you could look at, you know, first thing I look at is what's worn out. Get rid of the worn out stuff. That's the easiest thing. Then it's the do I love it, or are these things I'm just not wearing? Because very often we can buy things and not wear them because they're just not quite right. So I'd be looking at all the things you're not regularly wearing. And now if it's not weather related, I'd be thinking about, are these things that I want to keep? Are these things I want to move across the country? Because if you're moving across the country, you got to pack and move everything. That's a big job and it costs you to move everything. So I'd be looking at what am I not loving? What am I not wearing? There's usually a reason. If you've got any of those clothes that you put on, take off, they don't actually get worn. They never actually leave the bedroom as such. That's really a good indicator that there's something not quite right about them. Let them go. Now, you can spend a lot of time and energy learning about why you're taking them off or waste a whole lot of money. Often we think, oh, I just need something to go with that. Don't spend more money. You've already spent some money. Just get rid of the thing. Don't spend more money making that thing work. Another thing, let those things go. Creating a style recipe is a really useful thing to do. So deciding about who you are and how you want to be perceived. What kind of person are you? What is your personality? What do you want people to know about you? That is going to be really helpful to decide, are these clothes saying that? All clothes communicate. You know, before you open your mouth, what you're wearing is telling the world something about you. So of course you want them to be saying great things about you, don't you? But you also want them to be saying things that are true about you. And so this is why many of the mistakes we make in our closets are clothes that just aren't a reflection of our personality. They might look great on a friend and they looked great on the woman who is selling them and the mannequin looked amazing, but on us, you know, and it's often that feeling you get that you go, it's just not me. So anything that you put on, you think it's not really me, let it go because it's not an expression of your personality. Developing a style recipe, which is a few words that help you kind of make decisions about clothes, is also incredibly useful because then you can run those words by your clothes. And in fact, the other day, one of the women in one of my programs, one of the words she started using, because we're talking about animals and how animals can, you know, what kind of animal are you? If you were an animal, what's your animal personality? And she came up with a dolphin. And then she's actually found, is this dolphin? Is the question she asks her clothes. And if it doesn't say dolphin to her, she actually kind of go, this is actually a really good test for me to go, if it's not dolphin to me. So this, what is a dolphin? So dolphins sleek, dolphins intelligent. A dolphin, there's a whole lot of characteristics we can put around dolphin, can't we? And it moves, it's fluid. So anything stiff is not dolphin. Anything too, like that's got too much pattern or is too busy or lots of frills and flounces, that is not dolphin. So for her, this dolphin has been incredibly useful to actually figure out what stays and what goes. So have a think about, like, if you're an animal, what it would be and what are the characteristics of that animal. In fact, the other day, last week, I wrote a blog post about how you can take inspiration for your style from your pets, because usually we're attracted to our pets for some reason. So it can actually help you if you look at their personality, if you can look at their looks, all those sorts of things can really help you work out some of your aesthetic things, because often we get very stuck around style and around our own physicality. So we can look beyond ourselves and our bodies, so we can get our over the body image issues and all those sorts of things that, you know, often stop us in our personal style, and look around at our house and the things we love and the art we love and the dogs and cats we love and all those sorts of things and the animals that we associate ourselves with, all those things. We can actually then go, what is my aesthetic? And then that tells us, it informs us about our personal style. So I think that is something to really think about, is, you know, what kind of style recipe you have and which of the clothes that you've got already aren't just really feeding into that. I mean, I know Marie Kondo says, does it spark joy? But the word joy doesn't work for everybody. And this is why it could be, does it say dolphin to you? Does it spark joy is as legitimate as, is it dolphin? Or you can also, one of my other things to do is, if you're more of a numbers person, does it rate an 8, 9 or 10 out of 10? Because if you go, you know, when I put it on, it's really only a 6. Why keeping a 6? We don't want to keep a 6. So really, when we're thinking about purging our closets, it's thinking about, you know, what's the rate, an 8, 9 or 10 out of 10? Spark joy, be dolphin, be an expression of who we are. That is the first thing. Then we need to look at lifestyle. What do I actually spend my time doing? What am I actually, you know, needs? What are my needs? What's appropriate for different situations? The new, like, what's the location? What's the weather? How are other people dressing? Do I want to fit in or stand out? I mean, there's a million questions here as well you want to think about. This is why there's no one list that everybody needs in their wardrobe. There's absolutely not, you know, every body must have this latest thing, item, that I would ever tell you to go and get, because you are a unique person. Your life, your lifestyle, your personality, everything about you is unique. So there is no one thing everybody must have. And there's no wardrobe, that prescription that I can give you that is generic. I mean, when I work with my clients, we talk about all these things. We work out their style recipe. We go through, you know, what their lifestyle is and how they spend their time in their location and what they do, and all those sorts of things come into it. And then we can figure out what they need. And it's even things like, do I like wearing pants or skirts? Now, if I'm moving somewhere colder, am I a hot or a cold person? Am I going to need more cold clothes? Am I going to need more layers? What are the things I am needing for where my location is going to be? They're going to be different than where you've been in the hotter climate, in the hottest state. So, of course, we want to think about those. What are the lifestyle requirements? And you might even not be 100% sure until you move about what the kind of the general vibe of the area is, because sometimes it's not until you kind of, maybe you've gone and done some research, maybe you've gone there, visited, you see what people are wearing, because it could be that it's, you know, that there's a certain sort of look about the area and you may want to fit with that to, you know, blend in, or you may want to be your own self and be completely different. I know, I remember many years ago, you know, I'd moved out of home and I'd moved to a much larger city, and I went back to the small city that I had come from in my new city clothes, and I felt like I stood out like a sore thumb. I really didn't fit into what was the kind of the style landscape of that area where I had come from and I'd left. And so this is where sometimes I was going, oh, you know, and people were looking at me. I was walking around the town and people were looking at me, and I thought, you know, I don't look like a local. And does that matter to you or not? Because these are all questions I can't answer for you, but you can think about and you can answer them for yourself. So it is useful to think about all these kind of aspects. There is no one list of, you know, so I would be looking at, like, write down, what does my average week look like? Where am I going to be? What am I going to be doing? Therefore, and what kind of clothes do I like to wear? Do I like pants, skirts, dresses? Do I like multiple, like, do I like dresses and just having one thing? Or do I like putting a combination of things on? Do I like layering? Don't I like layering? Like, those things come into this. And then thinking about, you know, like, what's the location like? What are other people wearing? Is there some sort of standard of dress? Is it more dressy? Is it more casual? Because that's also going to inform maybe what you want to keep and what you want to get rid of as you make this move. And, you know, like, I mean, this is where it says, how long is a piece of string? And then, of course, how large a wardrobe do you like? Now, you may be someone who loves lots of options. You like a big wardrobe. You like to play in it. You like to create lots of different sorts of outfits. You get bored if you're wearing the same things all the time. Or you may be someone who loves a smaller wardrobe, who actually goes, you know, having too much stuff just overwhelms me. It confuses me. I'm not sure what I should be trying. I'm not sure what I should be doing. I actually want to really become more minimalist, get rid of all the stuff, and then just have a capsule. So you could start building capsules. That's one of the things you could do with your existing wardrobe, going, maybe I'm going to just go more minimal. There are some people who find this, I just want to create mine, either a formula or a uniform or just a capsule, and wear that basic same thing every day, and it makes them really happy. You know, because then I can leave that brain space for something else. There's other people who go, if I had to wear, I remember talking to a very creative friend of mine, and she said, I thought about doing that project 333, because I thought you got to choose 333 items for 3 months. She said, when I discovered it was just 33, I went, there's no way I could just do that. I'm going to be going nuts. I'm going to be bored, and I'm going to be hating my clothes because it's too restrictive. So this is something too that you want to think about, is, you know, maybe the idea of a small capsule really works for you, but maybe that feels like being boxed into a coffin and the lid nailed shut. Only you can know that. So that is like, there's all these things you want to think about as far as your wardrobe. But I do look at, like, write down your lifestyle, write down what you enjoy wearing, you know, figure yourself out a style recipe. Look at even things like, am I a hot or a cold person? I mean, I'm a cold person, so I need a lot of layers. I know other people who are hot people, like my son is a hot person. I'm getting around in, you know, 4 or 5 layers every day and everything's long and I'm completely covered up apart from my head and my hands. And he's in a pair of shorts and a tank top. And it's autumn, but it's nearly winter. But he's a hot, and he radiates heat. He just doesn't need the warm, you know, the warm clothes that I need. So that is also something you want to think about. There's just so many things to think about here, but hopefully that's given you a few little tips to think about. It's at least a starting point to work out what you want to keep and what you want to get rid of. But I go, if you're not wearing clothes, and it's not because they're not for the right climate, because sometimes we don't wear things if it's the wrong season. Absolutely. But if it doesn't fit, there's usually some reason, and this is where I'd go, try and wear those clothes, put them on, see how you feel in them, wear them for a day. And if you just go, you know, I did not feel good in this item, at the end of the day, that's a really great thing. Just get rid of it. Like, don't even think about it, just get rid of it. It's because you're not going to make it right. Like, occasionally it could just be it needs a small alteration, but very often it's because there's something essentially wrong with it, and that's why you weren't wearing it already. And also look at, why was it? Maybe it was uncomfortable. Maybe it was too revealing. Maybe it was constrictive and you couldn't move in it. You know, like, there's some reason or other often we're not wearing the clothes. The reality is most of us wear 20% of the clothes 80% of the time, the old Pareto principle. So looking at that other 80, you know, the 80% that you're not wearing. Now, some of that is because it's, you know, special occasion wear and I just don't have the occasion. I know for me is that 20% changes depending on the season, because of course, as I move through seasons, I'm not wearing my summer clothes right now and I don't wear my midwinter clothes in the middle of summer. So of course, those things are not getting worn. But if there's something that just never really gets worn, it's because there's something not quite right. And that's usually just a great go. There's nothing right about it. Let it go. So there you go. So if you have style questions, please, or color questions, please email them to me, imogen@insideoutstyleblog.com, or leave them here on comments. Please let me know what they are for upcoming live videos. I always love to know your questions. And of course, head over to the blog. I've got, you know, there is some blog posts and I will link to them with this video. Things like what things do you need in your wardrobe? You know, how big a wardrobe do you need? So I've got some of these questions I've already written blog posts about, so they could be really useful ones for you to think about. Of course, there's lots of blog posts on style recipes and creating your style recipe. As I mentioned, the one about using your pets to inform your style or to inspire your style, that one as well. So lots and lots of tools there and information to help you get a really good handle on your style and what's true and authentic to you. And I think that's why there's no one set of rules, because style is very much, I totally believe in style comes from the inside and is expressed on your outside, which is why the blog is called Inside Out Style, that it has to come from your core. It's not something that I can give you any list and nobody else can either. And there is no, you know, like, if somebody is telling you this is just what you have to do and they haven't really had a conversation with you and tried to understand you and talked about you and your personality, then I would suggest that they don't know what they're talking about. So because they're not taking you into consideration, and you are the most important part of your style. So thanks for watching. Hope you have a great day and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit insideoutstyleblog.com, where you will discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.